Billionaire brothers are charged with fraud.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The Securities and Exchange Commission continues to step up its profile and its enforcement. In a new civil charge, the agency accuses two prominent Dallas billionaire brothers of making millions in a 13-year fraud. The brothers are known for big contributions to Republican political causes and to charities. Marketplace's Janet Babin joins us live to talk about this. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
What does the SEC accuse these brothers of doing?
Well, according to the SEC complaint, Sam and Charles Wiley made $550 million in ill-gotten gains through 13 years of basically insider trading.
And how did they allegedly pull this off?
The SEC says they traded shares in public companies while they were in positions of power on the boards of directors of these companies, and they didn't disclose who they were or that they owned the companies. So they made a whopping profit, the SEC says, at shareholders' expense. The complaint alleges, too, that the brothers set up trusts and subsidiaries that were based on the Isle of Man and the Cayman Islands, and the public companies involved in the Wiley scheme are some you might have heard of, including Michael's Stores, that's the arts and crafts store, and Sterling Commerce.
And how have the Wiley brothers responded to the charges?
Well, through their attorney, the two say the charges are completely without merit and that they intend to vigorously defend themselves, and they expect to be fully vindicated.
Okay. Marketplace's Janet Babin reporting. Thanks, Janet.
Thank you, Bill.
Let's do the numbers. Asian shares fell today, especially in Japan, down almost 1.5%, partly because the yen is strengthening. That makes Japan's exports more expensive elsewhere, so it's harder for those big Japanese exporters to sell stuff. European markets are down 0.5%. Stocks fell in New York yesterday, too. The Dow Industrials lost 30 points, 0.3%, to close at 10,467. This weekend, tens of thousands of shoppers will converge on the Renegade Craft Fair in San Francisco. This is a fair devoted to do-it-yourself crafts. Reporter April Demboski tells us the recession has been a boon to the DIY movement.
Danny Orendorf organizes the Renegade Craft Fair. He says the traditional hipster clientele can still get $6 wallets made of duct tape. But now there's also high-end items like ceramic serving platters for $200.
Hand in hand with the introduction of different products and different items that are a little more expensive came consumers that were also maybe from a higher tax bracket.
The recession turned many unemployed hobbyists into full-time artists. Jen Hewitt discovered silk screening when she was laid off in 2008. She found a new job, but then quit so she could spend more time making tote bags and note cards.
If I decided 5 years down the line that I wanted to go back to work full time, because the economy's been so bad, it doesn't look so horrible for me to have had a year of unemployment and then, you know, say a year or two of silk screening.
But she's hoping her printmaking business takes off so she can be done with the 9-to-5 for good. I'm April Demboski for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Lift up the hood on your car these days, and it's hard to find the spark plugs. Even mechanics may not know what to do unless they have the specs from the automaker. And unless those mechanics work for dealerships, they might not be able to get the specs. Well, today, the Massachusetts legislature could vote on a bill to force car makers to share repair information with independent mechanics. From WBUR in Boston, Kurt Nickish has our story.
Jeff McLeod is vacationing with his family on a remote New England lake. The 2004 Kia Sedona they drove to get there is working now, but before the trip, its check engine light lit up. McLeod's trusty mechanic, Tom's service station, plugged into the car's computer for the error code. But Tom wasn't allowed to look up what it meant. McLeod had to take the minivan to the dealer for that.
It made me uncomfortable that somebody that had done that amount of work for me over the years was not able to do this.
Cars have gotten so complicated, repair shops are clueless unless they have the flowchart to troubleshoot these error codes and software glitches.
It's a puzzle. All we want is the directions to put the puzzle back together.
Barry Steinberg runs a Boston area repair shop. He says he needs the Right to Repair Act to force automakers to give out diagnostic information, or he'll go out of business. He points to an older Pontiac that one of his workers is fixing.
There's just so many of those Grand Prix left. I mean, when they wear out, they're going to be replaced by 2005, 2006, 2010, 2015 cars. There's going to be fewer cars that we can fix.
It's like knocking on Coca-Cola's door and saying, hey, I am a little cola place down the street. My cola isn't selling that well. What's the formula to Coca-Cola? Give it to me.
Ernie Bach Jr. runs the top-performing Honda dealership in the world. Dealers, he says, have to invest in costly equipment and sophisticated training.
We don't call them mechanics. They're technicians. They're like surgeons. I mean, this is extremely complicated stuff. This is not about willy-nilly giving out information and having any Tom, Dick, and Harry work on it.
Dealerships make more of their money nowadays from follow-up service than from car sales. So Bach Jr. says if the bill becomes law, expect both sides to rev up for a court fight. In Boston, I'm Kurt Nikisch for Marketplace.
And finally, here's the week's business news shrunk to a Marketplace minute. We got financial information from some major corporations. Colgate did so-so in terms of selling Dynamo and Speedstick and Toms of Maine. They only saw a modest gain in Handy Wipes and Ambisol and Ultra Bright and Fab and all the soaps and toothpastes that they sell. Profits soared at Sony, Shell, Motorola, Mitsubishi. Boeing sales were kind of squishy. Kellogg said the other day sales were blah for Special K and Apple Jacks and Honey Smacks and Mini Wheats and other treats like Pop-Tarts and Crunch-A-Roos and Cinnamon Marshmallow Scooby-Doos. Lockheed did succeed. Exxon, Avon, yes, indeed, they did. And so did Conoco. Hyundai, yes, Nintendo, no. The final name I have in mind lost more than all those firms combined. It can't be a thrill to lose $17 billion, but then don't do the drill if you can't clean the spill. Stay tuned for news of GDP. Whether our economy grew last quarter, we shall see, and I'll see you at marketplace.org. It's the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.